I love reading romance, even with my mom. Historical, paranormal, a good rom-com. We both like a grump, an alpha and a beard. But reading with my mom, well, it gets kinda weird. I'm reading steamy scenes, getting bothered and hot. But if mom is asking, I read it for the plot. We look for swoony scenes, those moments that delight. Communication's good and the banter's so right. So if you'd like to read along and join the group, here's a little secret, I'll let you into the loop. It's just a little show that we like to dub, Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club.
Welcome to the book club that sure is not your mom's romance book club, but it is my mom. I'm Ellen, and joining me as always is my mom. Hi, Mom. How's it going?
Going so good, Ellen.
Awesome. Today we are chatting about Mickey Chambers Shakes It Up by Cherish Reed. But first, Mom, what have you been reading and watching?
Well, this is the only book I read.
Yes.
Watching, we've been watching more Taskmaster.
As always. Things that brought us some joy this week is the Conan O'Brien episode of Hot Ones. I love both Hot Ones and I love Conan O'Brien. When I was living with a friend of the show who's been on the show, Jillian, in our freshman and sophomore years, we were like obsessed with Conan O'Brien. I think it was just kind of like our, like we were really into Conan and Arrested Development, our freshman year, and I think that was kind of like us starting to explore our own, you know, comedic sensibilities.
Well,
being out of
he's very quirky.
He's very quirky.
And that's kind of our
jam.
Yeah.
And I just love him, and I'm very excited for his new show because I love when he does like the remotes. So him on Hot Ones is an experience because
he is ridiculous.
He's crazy. And if you've seen Hot Ones before and you're familiar with, like, the sauces, he goes completely ape on all of them. And knowing the show and how those sauces, like, mess somebody up, it's pretty impressive how he handles them. But well, also, like, crazy.
He's just so funny.
He is really funny. And I've watched it now with, like, three different people, and I've cried laughing, like, every time. The other thing I cried laughing at this week was the new episode of SNL with host Ryan Gosling. There's some really funny stuff in there where I was watching it last night in my bed, just like
laughing out loud by herself.
Out loud by myself.
While I was finishing the book.
Yes.
So then today she showed me all the clips.
Yes. I mean, the monologue is him singing a Taylor Swift song.
Yes.
So, of course.
I mean, Ryan Gosling singing Taylor Swift. What?
It's like, tick,
what's
tick,
not to
tick.
Love?
And they did another Alien Encounters, and that one was really funny. And then the Beavis and Butthead thing, like, is probably my favorite.
Well, the Alien Encounter one is the cold open.
Yeah.
And then the monologue is great. All of it was just...
just lots of really good
and
stuff.
And Ryan Gosling cannot not laugh.
No, he, like, breaks. In fact, I saw him on Jimmy Fallon this week, and they were talking about how, like, them together are, like, the worst. Because Ryan Gosling was like, do you have any tips for me? He's like, no, obviously, I'm the worst person to ask.
But he broke, I think, in every sketch I saw, so.
Yeah. Like, the only one he didn't was the papyrus one.
Yeah, that was pre-recorded.
Yeah. The other thing that brought us a lot of joy this week was the Bridgerton season 3 trailer.
Oh my gosh, I watched it so many times.
So many times. I'm so, like, cautiously optimistic about this season. Like, more than any of the previous two. Like, this is the one that I am most excited for, but also scares me the most.
They could destroy it the most.
Well, because they've already changed a lot about Colin and Penelope's story, right? And so there's things that I just have to, like, resign myself going into it that they're going to be different.
But Nicola has said that they specifically have put in because they know that they're...
well, they're doing the mirror scene. I mean, they're definitely hitting
the
all the,
scene.
Like, spicy scenes for sure.
And because she knows that they, because they know that they are fan favorites.
Yeah, Nicola is definitely, like, just based on interviews and stuff with the cast, she's definitely the one that is the most aware of the books. And, like,
and
what the what, fans of
and
the...
And the fans of the books.
Yeah. But... I don't know. Like, the scene that I really want, that I hope we get, is him going to propose to her. And, like, her family just being,
oh, and
like,
her family.
Oh, are you here?
Are you here to see the younger sister? I can't remember her name.
Penelope.
Yeah, and he's like, no, no. Penelope. And they're like,
oh, the youngest sister.
Yeah.
I don't think the youngest sister exists in this.
I don't think they have her either. But,
because she was, like, Hyacinth. But the other thing that they don't have is that the time jump. Because in the books, they're, like, 5 years after.
A five-year time jump.
Yeah.
After Benedict's book, right?
Yes.
And then,
the other thing is we need to figure out what's going on with Benedict.
Yeah, what are they going to do with Benedict? But it looks like they're going to start Eloise and
Francesca's? They're at least starting Francesca's, it looks like. Because Francesca hasn't, like, even been in the past seasons. I'm really excited for Francesca and Eloise, too, because those are probably my next two favorite books. I think with Benedict, I don't know that they're going to be able to do, like, the Cinderella storyline.
I don't think they'll do a straight-up Cinderella storyline, but, you know, they gotta get married off. He can't just not.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
We'll see what happens with Benedict.
I'm like I said, cautiously optimistic.
We have to, because really, Sophie's one of my favorite girls, and, I mean, I really liked her. So I want to have, you know, he needs her. He needs a Sophie.
I'm also curious what they do to set up Eloise's storyline.
Yeah, because that needs to start happening. Because really, Eloise's overlaps
Collins.
With the end of Collins and Penelope's.
Yeah.
I mean, in the books. So, you know, we'll have to see.
If they're going
to
do that, if they're going to...
Well, Marina was... Something's got to happen with Marina. You know, bless her heart, I'm not trying
but
to...
But I was telling Mom, I'm like, it's kind of complicated because the actress who plays Marina is also kind of going through, I don't know, she's going through something, like, mental health-wise.
So they can't do anything mental health? That would be...
Which, that's a big thing.
That's a big thing in the stories, in the books. Anyway, we'll have to see how they play that one, too. Yeah. So.
And then I've been
Without the time jump, all that's still pretty fresh.
Well, yeah, like the babies.
Yeah.
The kids are all...
Because when Eloise... I don't know. I don't want a TMI, but they're like kids. I mean, they're like
7 years
and
older.
8. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Interesting.
Plays out.
I've also been watching a lot of Coachella stuff.
Why have you been watching that, Ellen?
Maybe two somebodies went to Coachella and I've been watching some of that. But also there's like people I like that were performing there. But yeah, Taylor Swift went to Coachella in case you are
did
not.
Did she go by herself?
No, she did not. She went with Travis and they were.
And they cannot keep their hands off each other.
They're very handsy with each other because they're in love.
We are so in love.
And yeah, that's the other thing that has been keeping me very busy is like Taylor Swift new album promotion stuff. And
so much Taylor Swift, so little time.
So excited for Friday. I'm so excited. She is going to freaking annihilate Joe Alwyn. And I cannot wait. It's going to be so good.
I feel a little sorry for him.
No. He knows what he did.
We're going to get an awesome album out of it.
Yeah. So suck it up. Okay.
All right, let's do this thing.
Let's start talking about this book. Today we are chatting about Mickey Chambers Shakes It Up by Cherish Reed. This is our first of her books, but she's been publishing books since about 2019. She has upcoming a steamy heist thriller coming out this summer called Jewel Me Twice, which sounds up Mom's alley.
It does. Here's my alley and it's right up there.
It's right up. Do we ever figure out what that's from?
I can't remember where we heard it. I think it might be on Palm Royale, but I can't remember for sure.
Oh, yeah. We need to watch more of that.
But it's like my favorite line ever nowadays.
Here's my alley, and that's right up it. All right. Total opposites, totally irresistible. Mickey Chambers is an expert at analyzing modern literature, but when it comes to figuring out her own story, she's feeling a little lost. At 33, she's an adjunct instructor with a meager summer class schedule and too many medical bills, courtesy of her chronic illness. Picking up a bartending gig seems perfect. Sure, Mickey's never done this before, but the gorgeous, grumpy bar owner, Diego Acosta, might be the perfect man to teach her, to teach the teacher, if he wasn't so stressed. Diego is worried he's running his late wife's bar into the ground, and the pressures of returning to college part-time at 42... And it's no wonder he's making rash decisions, like hiring the sunny, sexy woman who looks more at home in a library than slinging beers to rowdy barflies, and who turns out to be teaching his online writing course, a complication neither was expecting. It's not long before Mickey starts re-energizing the saloon, with cocktails, karaoke, and an optimism even Diego can't ignore. They need to fight their feelings if they want to keep things professional. But all it takes is one sip, one kiss to shake both their worlds forever. Mom, what did you think of Mickey Chambers Shakes It Up?
I'm going to give it a really like. I have a couple of quibbles with it that I'm sure we're going to talk about. But for the most part, I thought it was a fun, relatively light, easygoing.
Yeah, I'm also going to give it a really like. For me, it's kind of like a case of nothing really pissed me off, but also nothing really wowed me about it. But it was a nice, kind of lovely, it almost felt like kind of like a cozy romance, but was spicier than most of those are. But it's very, you know, I think with the setting of the saloon and kind of your cast of characters that works there, it has almost kind of like small town vibes to it and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think, I mean, and I think it was a good book for like where we're at and such. What did we think of Mickey as our heroine?
I liked Mickey. I liked her optimistic, positive attitude, and I liked her, you know, the kind of joy that she brought to the bar. I thought she was great.
Yeah, I really liked Mickey. She's sunshiny, but not in an annoying way. We had another book recently where we had a similar comment, but, you know, she's not like a manic pixie dream girl where she's, like, so quirky and sunny that it's like you're not a real person
or you're an annoying person.
Yeah, she's just, you know, happy and optimistic, and that's what makes her a sunshine heroine. And so I liked that. I also really liked about her that she's curvy and she has a chronic illness, and those are things about her, but they're not things that, like, she ever let define her or wanted to define her. And, like, her being curvy is just, like, a thing that gets mentioned a couple times.
Mainly because he was into it.
Yeah. And it's never, like, you guys know that we've had characters before in the past where we're like, okay, you're fat or you're curvy or whatever. We get it. Move on.
Yeah.
Like, done.
Yeah.
Understood.
But she was never like, oh, I don't want to take my clothes off because of da, 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 or I don't want him to see this, this, and this. And it's like, okay, it's not even mentioned. I mean, it's not even something that comes
up. Honestly, I think that is a byproduct of them both being older.
Yeah.
That it's just like,
hey, this is who I am.
You either want it or you don't. Like, and if you don't, fair enough.
He seems to want it pretty badly.
He certainly does. So, I really liked that. And then with her chronic illness, she has hyperthyroidism. And, you know, she says, she's like, it's a thing that I have to medicate and take care of and be aware of. But if I'm doing that, it's not a thing that's going to make me different from anybody else.
Yeah.
So, like, I just want to move on and
enjoy my life.
Not be treated any different. I'm just going to take care of this thing, and that's just going to be one more thing that I personally have to do. But nobody else has to worry about it in any way.
Absolutely.
And I liked that. And, you know, there's obviously chronic illnesses that are more work than that. But yeah, I liked just kind of her trying to get out from underneath that kind of stigma that she's had her whole life. And, yeah.
Yeah.
So I really liked her as a heroine, and I thought she was great.
I agree.
What did you think of Diego as our hero?
I like Diego. He, you know, grumpy guys always verge on, you know, towing the line between.
He has moments of being a little too asshole-ish, but I will say when we talk about the conflict, the thing that he gets the most grief for, I didn't think he deserved that much grief for.
Honestly, I had a bigger problem with her in the conflict than him. But, which I'm sure we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I mean, he was dealing with stuff, obviously. But does talk about getting therapy, which I support.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was dealing with his wife's death still, even though it was 5 years after.
And the thing that I really like about him is that he's a grumpy widower who still is open to falling in love again, right? He's not like our normal, I can never love somebody like I loved my wife. I can never, you know joy ever again. It's never that. It's just that, you know, he doesn't know if he's ready to be in a relationship because he's so busy doing other stuff. Like, that's
books where, you know, they've had a previous marriage or a previous wife, you know, and they're even widowers who are like, then they bang it out with some other girl and they're like, oh, wow, I think I even like having, you know, I think I even like her more. And it doesn't have to be a competition. You can love one woman and then after that woman is gone, love another woman. It doesn't have to
be. And, like, love them differently than each other.
Absolutely. And I think this book handled that really, really well. I think it did a really good job of showing, you know what, there are healthy ways to have a second relationship after you've had a spouse die.
Yeah, and also in that vein, I really liked how she handled.
Yeah, she was excellent.
Yeah.
But that was really just kind of her personality. That was her sunshiny optimism, you know.
Yeah. Like, I really like, you know, her making the book of
the cocktails.
Yeah, and just being like, it's never something that I need you to forget. And, like, we can pay homage to her and, like, honor her without it being weird. Like, with both of them, it just really came through that they were two older hero and heroine.
Yeah.
Like, that they were more mature. Like, they never made any. There's so many times where we're like, this person is making decisions like a 20-year-old and they are 28.
Yeah.
You know? And that's a big difference. And I really, like, I was never pissed off at them for being, like,
immature.
Yes. And so that was lovely because I feel like we often run into that.
We often do. And I was down for one where they actually acted their age.
Yes. Okay. So there are, this is where I know Mom's going to have thoughts. So there are some definite power dynamics at play here. And I'm just going to let you.
Well, first of all, she only is given one class to teach over the summer, and that's not enough money, so she needs more money, so she goes to this bar.
And you know what? Like, I know that, like, the adjunct professor thing, like, people get totally screwed in that situation, so it was also kind of interesting to read.
Absolutely. And, like, to see, because people think, oh, professors, they make, you know, really good money. Well, yes. It's almost like, you know, oh, actors make such good money. Well, yeah, the Brad Pitts and the, you know, Ryan Goslings.
No, do you know who makes a shit ton of money? Is, like, Flo with Progressive.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
chick is set up for freaking life.
Yeah, and so if you can get a gig like that, that's great.
Yeah.
But, you know, the guy that plays the neighbor or whatever, you yeah. know, they don't make any money.
Yeah.
So, you know, back to the to what we were talking about. So, yes, it is interesting to see that side of education. But here's the deal. So she goes to get the job at this bar. Then after she gets the job at the bar, she finds out that in this summer class, her boss is in this class that she's teaching. Yeah. So there in and of itself, I cannot believe it's ethical to teach your boss, because there is no way you could grade. And I don't care how often she says, well, I'm going to grade you just like I would any other student.
I'm totally going to be fair. My thing is, it's like, girl, you know that if the university found out that this was the
it
dynamic.
It would totally be frowned upon.
Yeah.
And not only that, but then she starts banging him. So now she's not only is her student her boss, but she's also sleeping with him.
Yeah.
So there's just all kinds of ethical issues there, I think, with that situation.
On both sides.
Well, and I always have a problem with a boss and employee thing, but that didn't bother me near as much as her as a teacher teaching him and sleeping with him. So,
I mean, I do like that at least the age thing is not as, dicey.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. It's not like she's an 18-year-old and he's...
Yeah.
And the boss, I think the boss employee thing didn't bother me as much in this one because it's such a small bar. It's not like it's a big corporation where she's a secretary and he's like a CEO. Yeah. So it wasn't that kind of thing. It's just he owns a small bar and then this girl comes to work for him. So it's not as big of a power dynamic there. But I think that the whole ethicalness of her teaching her boss and sleeping with her student, I think those were my bigger issues, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, my thing mainly was just like, girl, who are you kidding? Like, like, you know that this is dicey. And they, like, I think that they called attention to it enough times where I was just kind of like, okay, if they're just going to be cool with it, then
you're obviously not going to do anything about it. But like you said, if the university found out, I have to believe that they would be like, yeah, this isn't cool.
I'm sorry, what? What all is going
what
on
all
here?
Is happening here? And, you can't grade your boss without it affecting the way you grade your boss.
Like, I even have, so my friend, her husband is one of the principals at my school, and then I've had their
child,
and I think I'm probably going to end up having their other child next year in my class. And,
she's a very close friend.
Yeah.
It's not just someone you know.
And so even that is dicey sometimes. I never felt weird about grading. Luckily, he was always a really good student, so he was easy to grade. But, I remember report cards and progress reports, or even because I would talk to her a lot on the phone on my way home from work, just about, you know, our days and stuff like that. And I would end up getting your son was pissing me off today because he was doing this. And I kind of go into my rant mode and I'm like, I need to be cooler about this. And recognize that this is my student's mother that I'm literally bitching about.
Her kid
to her. So even that situation is weird, right? So the whole, I'm totally going to grade, my boss who I'm sleeping with, totally normally. It's like, girl, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
Come on. So, anyway. What did you think of the setting of this bar, the saloon?
I liked the setting of the bar. I liked the people who worked there.
Yeah.
They all had these crazy backstories, like Ollie with her...
Yeah, Amish.
Amish background. And
I kind of wanted to, know more about that. I was like, I well, feel when like they I talk need a about, book about, a post.
Well, or her sister. You know, her sister's coming to town. Yeah. So maybe we'd get a book about her sister. But her sister's only 18. But
I would be interested in, a book about
I'm sure there's one out there.
I'm sure there is, too. Like somebody on Roomspringa that's, you know, setting off on their own.
Yeah, that would be, it would be crazy.
Mainly just because I'm, you know, it's kind of like we've talked about. It's like always interesting to like learn more about a culture or other something. Cultures.
But, yeah, and I liked, you know, his brother-in-law that worked there. I liked.
I thought that was really sweet, by the way, like the kind of
relationship he has with his brother-in-law. It's his dead wife's brother, so.
Yeah, and like him feeling somewhat awkward about, you know, telling him that he's starting to date Mickey. And then when he does, he's just like, yeah, we all know.
Yeah,
like,
and it's about time.
And like, yeah, and I think it's wonderful and love it and think she's great.
Well, and then when he had to fire his other cousin, his wife's cousin, is that who he was? And, you know, just that whole dynamic of when family work for you and then they don't follow through on their jobs. So, no, I thought it was, it was kind of fun to get a behind the scenes look at this little bar.
Yeah, and it's like I said, I think it kind of gave the book a kind of cozy small town vibe almost because you're just so insulated in this bar for like basically the whole book.
Group of people.
Yeah. And yeah, I thought it was great and I really liked it.
I did too.
I would say that one of my main takeaways from this book was figuring out your journey and, like, recognizing that it's not always going to be linear, I guess. And even, like, later in life, kind of making changes. Would you agree? And, like, what did you think of that?
Yeah. And I liked the, you know, she's obviously never been married and he's been married and felt like she was like too young for him. But he was thinking she was younger in the beginning. Like he thought she was in her mid-20s just because she was this perky little, you know, little thing. And that turned out she was 33 and he was 42. Is that what our age span was? And just for those of you who know that I hate age gaps, I don't have a problem with a 33-year-old and a 42-year-old. I have a problem with a 16-year-old and a 36-year-old.
18-year-old.
Yeah, even an 18-year-old and a 36-year-old that we get in our historicals. But this kind of doesn't bother me.
I think I have a problem with anything in the teens and like 10 years older. So it's like, if it was, even if it was an 18-year-old and a 28-year-old, I'd be like,
I know. I would, too. I would have a problem with that. Anytime you're a teen with a something that's not a teen.
Unless it's like 20.
I would say that I had a little bit of, because usually insta-love is not, I don't have a huge problem with. And I will say the fact that he went from being this grumpy widower who really didn't care about romance and wasn't looking for another romance. And then she walks in his bar and bam, just from the get-go, to the point where they're making out the first night she goes to work. My other thing is, who brings their best friend with them to their first day of work? That was a little weird. But anyway.
Yeah, that was weird.
The insta-love in this one almost took me out of the story a little bit because it was just a little too unbelievable that he would fall so fast and so hard.
I think, I think it somewhat helped for me that it's kind of more insta-lust. And then develops into love. Because really, like, straight away, he just, like, wants to bang her. And, like,
and if that's the case, then I'm not sure that I got out of the insta-lust. That I'm not sure the story built up the, okay, well, why are they in love enough for me, if that's the case?
Well, I mean, I think, I mean, I agree, like, they definitely fall pretty hard, but I kind of read it more as, like, they just wanted to, like, bone each other pretty hard, like, straight away, and then working together and getting to know each other and, like, her reading his writing and doing things like that is, like, kind of makes them both fall actually more legitimately in love with each other.
Yeah, I just, that was just something, it was funny to me that he just went from being this, like, never happy, never, just always grumpy with everybody all the time. And that was just kind of his MO. And then all of a sudden, he just wants to bang it out with this chick.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree. I don't know. There's just something about this book that I was just kind of more willing to just kind of like, whatever. Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, no, and it was, you know, if you just think of it as just a lighthearted romance.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that stuff was just like minor enough where I was like, yeah, I guess that kind of would bug me in a different scenario, but whatever. I don't know. But with them, I mean, obviously, I mean, I started, in fact, this week, one of our, like, the girl who takes my class for after school care, she's in the process of getting her credential and, or like starting that journey. And so she was like, I need to interview a teacher. Like, could I interview you? And I was like, yeah, sure. And she was asking me, like, so you've been a teacher for like a long time, right? I'm like, no.
No, it's my second year.
Like, this is my second year. She's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, how old are you? And I'm like, 36. She's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, so just kind of, you know, talking to her about becoming a teacher, like, much later in life. And so obviously I can relate with, like, shifting things around and still figuring things out. And honestly, like,
which is pretty much what she was going through in this
book. Yeah. And I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I think it's better to try some things out and see, like, what is or is not going to work for you. And then just kind of, like, making a decision when you're 18 to go into a major and then sticking with that.
So Ellen went into teaching and she's just been elated ever since.
I'm she's on cloud it. Nine. I'm
all the time.
I was just destined to be a teacher. No, but obviously I don't feel that way because I bitch about teaching. All the time. But, and you know, maybe there will come a time in my life where I still go another direction. But for now,
I'm good. And I didn't start teaching till I was 40. So,
yeah.
I went back to school after my kids got.
So I guess I liked kind of like my takeaway was like, braver to try different things and to, like, you know, that, like I said, it's not going to be linear and that it's different choices are going to take you in different directions and get you to, so, like, going and working for the bar for a summer is kind of what got her thinking, you know what, I really like doing
events,
planning and, like, planning events and maybe I would be good at, like, party planning or wedding planning and looking into that. And so I thought that that was kind of a cool message, especially for, like, older heroes and heroines. And, like, him going to school. And even though he didn't really have necessarily something he wanted to do with it, but it was just something, like, a goal, and he wanted to see it through.
Get a degree.
And so, yeah, so I liked that it's, like, not too late to switch things up if it's not working.
Shake up your life a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's talk about the conflict. So, at one point in the book, they bang it out, and she forgets to take her medication, and she goes to work when they're, like, particularly busy because there's this big event in town, and she, like, passes out. Because she hadn't taken her meds. And because of this, like, he finds out about her hyperthyroidism.
Yeah, he didn't even know she had an illness.
Correct. And he makes a comment later when she steps in the middle of a, like, bar fight. And he basically is just like, I already, like, am letting you work even though you have this condition.
Did he say it like that?
Well, it's something along those lines.
Well, what he said was, he said, I can't, you know, your parents already don't want you working here. I can't send you home with a black eye, is really what he said. Mm-hmm. And, which makes, see, here
was. But I guess what I'm saying is she reads into it like what I said.
Yeah, yeah, she does read into it what you said. And then she's all this, you're letting me do this and you're letting me do that. And it's just like, okay, he's your boss. So, yes, he does.
He's your boss who you're screwing.
And like, he does let you do things.
Yeah. And like everybody else at the bar kind of like jumps down his throat about this situation. And I thought that that was kind of unfair.
My problem with the way she handled it is she has every right to be angry.
Yeah. I agree. She had every right to call him out on what he said and be like.
But I don't think she should have done it in front of everybody. I think it should have been something.
But to be fair, she and author also like, you know what? I was justified in being upset. But I probably shouldn't have done it in front of, like, the whole bar.
Yeah.
And, like, staff and customers included. Right? Because she does say that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And she, you know, even after a couple days, she says she's forgiven him. But
really, like, so that is the conflict. And while it did bother me a little bit, it also is, like, very insignificant.
Like, they get over it. Well, they decide to take a break from their sexual activities until
he's done with the class.
He's done with the class, which is, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so they do. And then by the time the class is over, they're both, like,
so horny.
So horny for each other, they can hardly stand it. And so I think he comes over, like, as soon as he opens his grades. And yeah, they bang and bang and bang and bang and bang.
Yeah. True. That's exactly what happens. So, conflict is, like, pretty mild, and, like, they do get over it pretty quickly. But I think that further just kind of adds to, like, the cozy stuff I was talking about, where yeah, it's just very, like, everything's just very chill. Like, it's just very chilled out. Let's talk about sex, baby. Not chilled out.
Not chilled out.
Is the sex.
And you probably liked the dirty talk.
I did like the dirty talk. Even, like, before they started having sex and they were, and, like, he was just saying things to her, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good one. Like, just by the way he's saying things, I was like, okay, Diego. And I was right. Like, he was talking her through some stuff and I was here for it. Yeah, I mean, it's not like Tessa Bailey.
No.
It's not anything where there's anything too crazy, like eating ass in the shower, but,
that's our high mark for this year.
but it is very, it's like pretty explicit and had the dirty talk and they did get after it like quite a few times.
Yeah.
In detail.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What was your swooniest moment?
I actually have one this time.
I, like, don't really have one, but.
My swooniest moment is when he's in his office and he's kind of talking to his dead wife, kind of, and is just like, if you sent her to me, then thank you. I thought that was really sweet. When that was he's great. Just, like, having a little moment where he's.
Mine's very different.
Sharing with his dead wife, and he's just, If you had anything to do with me finding her, then thank you. And, help me not screw it up.
So mine is literally the dirty talk.
I'm sure it was. There's no doubt in my mind. This is the difference between you and I. I like the sweet stuff. You like the yeah stuff. Tell it to me, baby.
I mainly just wrote, like, the sexually charged makeouts because, like, when they were...
Oh, and they start early, like, her first day at the job.
Uh-huh. And it's like I said, like, he was just already saying things where I'm like, okay.
Like in the basement?
Mm. Yeah. And, so that was what I went with. So very different than what you want. Okay. That's what we think. So let's start to hear from some of you on what you think. First up, we have audio from Anna.
Nice.
So let us hear from Anna.
Hey, No Yomo's mom and Ellen. Anna here with some thoughts about Mickey Chambers Shakes It Up. I think it's a cute title. This feels a little bit like a doubleheader of mom's dislikes of the employer-employee relationship, and then there's this teacher-student relationship that's piled on top of that. So I'm guessing this one's kind of an uphill battle right from the get-go. So I'm really excited to hear what y'all think of it. So at first I like Mickey. She needs more money. So she gets a second job and she's kind of looking out for herself, to working really hard to take care of herself and be independent. And so she gets a job at the bar, and I like that as soon as she realizes that Diego is her student, that they talk about it right away. I think overall the communication throughout the book is pretty good. I like the office hours, little meetings. I thought that was kind of cute. But then Diego is a total dick to her about the beer pouring situation, which is honestly not that difficult at all. I've worked at a beer festival pouring beer, and it's not like it's like super complicated. So then after that, she proves that she's not going to quit by kissing him. And it felt like a kind of like abrupt transition. And this is right after he's been a pretty big dick to her. And so it felt kind of awkward, like an awkward thing. And I wasn't really getting where she was coming from with that. And then later she quits when he's overprotective of her after breaking up a bar fight, which it seemed kind of obvious that he was just being looking out for her and being overprotective. So I was a little bit like, girl, you being a little too impulsive. But I guess maybe she's impulsive from the get-go, because I think even when she started looking for this job, she just went out and saw the advertisement on the street for that they needed people and just kind of went in. So I think maybe she's just kind of impulsive and was just being, that was pretty consistent for her character. But it still seemed kind of like a overreaction to his looking out for his employees and being protective of their safety. So I really liked how Mickey was curious about Diego's wife who had passed away and the recipe book that she created. I thought that was really cute. I enjoyed most of the side stories, like Ollie's story and Cleo's stories, but there was just something about this grumpy sunshine that I felt was a little bland. So I don't know if it was their banter that I wasn't really feeling, or I think Diego's dirty talk wasn't really working for me, or there wasn't much of a spark. It felt like just basically like Mickey thought Diego was hot and Diego thought Mickey was hot, but there wasn't a lot of dimension or depth to it. It was just kind of like, oh, this person, I think this person's hot. And that was kind of it. So I'm not really sure. But overall, I didn't not enjoy this. I just felt like it wasn't a super memorable read. So I'm excited to hear what everybody else thinks. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you for that, Anna. Anna, obviously, I think personally, I came out a little bit more positive, but I also don't disagree with, like, anything that you said, to be honest.
Well, and I think you nailed it for why the insta-love was weird to me, because she just, like, starts kissing him out of nowhere. And I kind of alluded to this already, but I agree that when there's an insta-lust, if that's what we're going to call it, so mm-hmm. they both wanted to bang each other from the get-go. If there's an insta-lust, and then they start having sex, and then it's just all about the sex, I need to see more of the relationship being built. Because especially when he was, like Anna was saying, so awful to her in the beginning.
Yeah, and when I was saying that he was a little too asshole-ish at times, that scene in particular is like the one that I was like, okay, calm down.
Calm down. And help her learn. Don't just be a dick to her.
Yeah, where, and like, you know, he was saying it's just to, like,
really throw her into the fire straight away. And it's like, okay, but you don't need to, like...
Well, it's just the way I teach people. That's just the way I teach people. It's like, okay, well, that's
a
terrible
But I do like people. That, where, yeah, where she's like, okay, that's not a very good teacher. Yeah. And, like you said, bland, I think that's where I was kind of more in, like, with the just kind of easygoingness. But I can definitely see it coming off as, like, somewhat bland as well.
Yeah. But like I said, they built up the sex a lot, but not the relationship. So I think the sex outshone the relationship, which makes it feel like, are these two going to make it in the long term? Because, you know, I don't see a relationship being built up.
Yeah. Catherine says, I actually didn't mind the conflict here. They were so bad at sticking to their guns every time they said they wouldn't hook up. It was satisfying to see them actually achieve that in the end, lol. I was anticipating that the conflict would have something to do with Lucia, and I'm glad it didn't. She definitely seems like she'd approve of Mickey. Yeah.
I thought for sure, all through the book, I thought, okay, they're going to have some kind of conflict, and then he's going to have to write a paper that she's going to have to read, and in the paper, he's going to, like...
wax poetic about his dead wife?
Well, no, about her, about...
Oh.
I thought they were going to have some kind of a conflict, and then he was going to have to, like, apologize to her through... And then I was really going to have a problem with, how do you grade stuff. That, my dear?
Yeah. Well, so then that's good then.
Yeah, it's good that that's not the way that went, because that would have really been problematic.
Things are falling. Cassie says, this was a cute read, and I loved that the characters were older and mature. I loved the chronic illness rep, especially it being hyperthyroidism, since I don't often see it represented in media. I have Hashimoto's thyroiditis and hypothyroidism, so any thyroid rep is great to see. There you go. One for the team, Cassie. I will say I found it a bit over the top that Mickey passed out after forgetting to take her medication for one day, but I get that it provided some conflict in the story. Overall, this was a cute read, and Mickey and Diego's romance felt cozy and lived in. Yeah, I agree, Cassie. And I'm glad that you feel like there's some representation for you and your people there. Ashley says, I really liked this one. It was so nice to read a story where adults get to act like adults who talk to each other. Yeah, and Anna also alluded to this, but I also really liked that straight away. They were just like, okay, this is something that, like, we need. If we're going to do this, if you're going to be my teacher and I'm going to be your boss and, like, we're going to have to just be open and communicative about it and...
I'll tell you how this could have been fixed for me, is if she's a teacher and he's taking a class, but it's not her class, and then she ends up helping him, like, through his writing process, and she ends up, like, proofreading papers for him. But it would not have the weird dynamic that I have an issue with.
I know. Let's get over it. it was interesting, this actually continues, it was interesting to see a story where there were two different power dynamics at play, though Mickey being Diego's professor for a 5-week online course where she showed pre-recorded lessons didn't quite have the professor-student dynamic I was expecting it to have. I do wish they waited more than a day or two to start making out with each other, but since the characters were older, I didn't mind it as much. It was also refreshing to read about a widower, but we didn't have the tropes of I can never love again from Diego or I'll never measure up to his dead wife from Mickey. Agreed.
Agreed.
Obviously. Yeah, I think that some of the, like, 5-week online course is supposed to help mitigate some of the, like, weird...
Well, the dynamic goes away pretty quickly is what that is. Like, a little over a month, that dynamic is gone.
It's gone. Jill says, this was an enjoyable, low-stakes, low-angst read with just the right amount of swoon. Also, at a little over 300 pages, it wasn't too long.
Yes. And we always appreciate that.
I did watch the remake of Roadhouse a few weeks ago, and the chaotic brawl fighting at the beginning of the book gave me similar vibes, just a little less violent. Just a side note, if you haven't seen the new Roadhouse, I'm not sure if I'd recommend it, but it is pretty over the top and campy. Plus, super jacked Jake Gyllenhaal seems to be acting in another movie than his co-stars. So do with that what you do what you will with that review. Okay.
Well, probably because Jake Gyllenhaal is a decent actor. I'm not sure that everybody else is. talking about jacked actors, the Fall Guy.
I'm so excited for that movie.
the trailer for that Fall Guy movie.
Oh, like, if you've seen that, I can't remember if we talked about this last week, because I know, like, we've been talking about this to other people, but that movie is just so far up me and Mom's alley. Mm-hmm. It's like humorous, romantic, action, fun movie. Like, yes.
And he's, his body looks incredible.
And, like, him, yeah. Like, yeah.
And Emily Blunt is delightful as well.
Yeah, we like both of them. So, sign us up.
Yeah.
I really want to see it. And honestly, I just, like, hope it doesn't let me down at this point. Although I'm getting, like, early reviews are that it's very good. So, Jill continues after her Roadhouse review. Anyways, I enjoy that the majority of the book took place solely in the bar, so you get a sense of all the characters who work there as well as their clientele. It's like the old TV show Cheers, but hornier.
A lot hornier, because I don't remember any of this stuff happening in Cheers.
I would have liked a bit more with Mickey's best friend because she seemed really fun. If this becomes a series, hopefully the next book is from her POV. Her and Ollie, maybe there was a few characters that
Ramon,
were like,
what, cause Ramon's not married. Is
oh
he?
Yeah. Ramon. Yeah. There's a few characters that like could easily be future romance.
And even the other bouncer guy. I mean, you could have a whole series out of this.
That's true.
And Ollie's sister.
Yeah. Jill says, this definitely felt like a light summer read, which is nice because it started raining again in California. Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it did do that.
In fact, it was pouring like crazy all Saturday long.
Luckily, though, my car was like, I would get in my car after a rainstorm and my cup holders would be full of water and it was starting to smell like mildewy and stuff in there. So I took it to our friend who's a mechanic and he's like, I think it's
just... He worked his magic.
He did work his magic, like, in an hour. Because I guess, like, he said that when the cars have sunroofs, they have built-in, like, drain systems. And he said, I'm betting that your drain system is just backed up and clogged. And sure enough. And then, like, we had a really bad rainstorm yesterday and I got in my car today and it was dry.
There was no cup holder full of water.
Yeah. But yeah, it does keep raining. It keeps getting like nice and then starts raining again.
Well, I'm going on a trip this week, so it better stay nice.
Yeah. Jennifer says, I really liked this a lot when I first read it a few months ago. Just skimming it again and remembering, I like the adjunct professor reps because they are seriously underpaid and exploited. The characters are great and their conflicts seem real and they're able to communicate as the adults they are while still leaning into the grumpy sunshine dynamic.
Yeah.
Great. Like-minded Laurie, haven't heard from her in a while. Welcome back. She says, I thought this was a light, fun read. Several others have commented on things that were high points for me as well. Yes to a widowed MC who appreciated how amazing his wife was, but also was also ready to move forward without a bunch of angst from either MC. Correct. I appreciated the chronic illness rep for a condition that doesn't often get much attention. I loved the saloon family of co-workers. They were a fun cast of characters, and I would definitely be down to spend more time with any of them or any of the side characters we met in this story. Shout out to acknowledging the injustice of being an overworked, underpaid, and undervalued adjunct professor. I liked that in the epilogue, Mickey was able to keep teaching since she was obviously gifted in the classroom, but was also able to pursue other dreams, too. My one major beef was tied to the conflict. I get that Diego stuck his foot in it with his I'm a man comment, but honestly, from an employer perspective, there is a certain amount of liability, yeah, involved in a situation like that, and you can't have someone who doesn't know what they're doing getting in the middle of a bar fight. If only he could have spoken as Mickey's boss in that moment, but then there wouldn't have been a conflict. So what do I know? Yeah, I'm just glad he apologized quickly, she forgave him quickly, and they gave themselves the 2-week breather. That non-date trip to the grocery store was a pretty great scene. Yeah, a little bit of naughtiness in the produce section, but followed up with sharing stories and genuine emotion. Definitely glad my library hold came through for the audiobook, so I was able to read with the group this week. Yeah. Welcome back. Lovely to have you again. And back at it with the like-minded.
Yeah.
Because agree.
Definitely. I mean, even as a teacher, there are only certain people on the campus who can break up a fight. And yeah. As a teacher, you're not supposed to break up a fight. I mean, especially because I worked at a school that had like pre-K through 8th. And,
well, and parents getting into fights.
Oh, I did have parents getting into fights.
I know.
But, you know, they, as a teacher, you're not supposed to break up a fight. And there were only certain people. Now, a lot of times, just a teacher walking up to the situation would diffuse the situation. So, yeah. And then a lot of times, the kids who were fighting, I was like, they both deserve it a little bit. So I would take my time walking over there.
I almost hesitate to say this, but there's this kid at our school who he's kind of like on his last warning. Like if he has too many more situations, like he's probably going to get expelled. And my grade level partner, she's like, I mean, it's because it does not take much to get this kid worked up. And the kids in her class are just fed up with him. And so she's like, I'm kind of just tempted to like,
trigger him.
Kind of. Like, just kind of let it go. Like, if something happens, just like, oh, I'm sorry you're feeling that way. And just let him go off.
And no, but I have literally had, like, kids fighting who were two horrible kids. I mean, there's no such thing as a horrible kid, but there kind of is. And,
if you know,
you know. And the kids are, Mrs. Light, so-and-so is fighting. It's like, okay, I'll be there in a minute. I'm on my way.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
You just like, well, they each deserve a good punch.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's with this kid. It's like, there's been a couple times where she's like, it's like, if this kid gets punched, I'm like, gonna kind of be like, yeah, I get it.
I understand.
Yeah. But I haven't had to break up a fight yet, but I have had to like step in between some kindergartners who were
kindergartners.
I know, but I got kicked pretty freaking good by one of them. I was like, listen,
I've also had a kid here. Like start throwing furniture in my classroom, and I've just had to. Can't do anything. You just have to. Okay, everybody, we're going out to the playground, and I get out there, and then I call the office and let them know so and so was going bonkers in my class. I just hoped they didn't ruin any computers. But so back, bringing this tangential comment back to the thing. Yeah, there's a reason why you have bouncers and things who.
Yeah. And like the other people at the bar were trying to be like, well, like I've broken up fights. And it's like, yeah, and I'm sure he wasn't like super thrilled on that either. Like,
yeah,
you know, let the freaking bouncers do what they're supposed to do. And especially, I mean, not to freaking generalize or me sexist or whatever, but, like, especially women who are working at the bar, and it's usually, like, getting in the middle of, you know, and I appreciated that, like, the ladies all wanted to step up for the girl that was getting
abused,
harassed.
Yeah.
And, but, like, they got her out of the situation, and then should have just walked away from that guy and let a bouncer, like, just kind of been like, somebody, you know, and I guess they were having problems because
one of the bouncers wasn't around.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's, you know, one of those.
Well, and her whole diatribe about, oh, so you let me work behind the bar and you let me do this. And it's like, yeah, he's your boss. So he's letting you do these things. You need to realize, sure, you're sleeping with him, but he's also still running a business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. That's why I kind of had a bigger problem with her in that conflict than him. And I think that she should, if she was unhappy or she needed to just go in his office, cool down, and then talk to him about it. That would have been the way to handle the situation.
Well, and that's essentially what does happen, but it just kind of takes place over a longer
period of time, I guess.
Well, she storms out and quits.
Yeah.
And that seemed a little...
Yes, I agree. Okay, and last but not least, we have an audio report from Ian. Oh. So let's hear from Ian.
Hey, everyone. I thought Mickey Chambers Shakes It Up was a fun and enjoyable read, and there wasn't much I could find wrong with it. But on the other hand, I also can't really say that it blew me away in any regard. It was warm and cozy, and that's totally fine, but it wasn't enough for me to rate this a love. I liked that the main characters were a little different from the usual. Mickey was a larger black woman in her 30s with a chronic illness, while Diego was a Hispanic man in his 40s, and he felt a bit closer to Earth than some other male main characters. However, while the story was cozy and fun, and I never felt like I was forcing myself to keep reading, it also didn't really captivate me, and the plot felt a little thin at times. I also didn't really feel any tension or stakes when it came to the power dynamic. I think that could have been explored further, but I could also tell that the author was probably going for a different tone. And also, while the author gave pretty good insight into their physical connection, I wanted a bit more attention given to establishing a deeper emotional connection between the main characters. So all in all, this is a strong like for me, close to a really like.
Thank you for that, Ian. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're basically...
on the same page as us.
Yeah. And yeah, just kind of like, it was good, but nothing that like completely knocked my socks off is where I guess I land personally. And it sounds like Ian landed as well. Mom, final thoughts.
No, I liked it. Except for the few things that I brought up, I really liked the story. I enjoyed reading it. I enjoyed that it was 300 pages.
Yes. I think my main, like, positive takeaway was them as characters, good communication.
Yeah.
And, like, good rep, like, age-wise and chronic illness-wise and
widower.
All those things. But, yeah, like, nothing that, like, completely blew me away. But yeah. In the world of negatives, that's a pretty good negative. So, those are our thoughts and some of your thoughts on Mickey Chambers' Shakes It Up by Cherish Reed. We would love to hear more from you on our Facebook page, our Facebook group, which is Not Your Mom's Facebook group, our Goodreads group, our Twitter and Instagram, which are both at Not Your Mom's Rom, or you can email us at notyourmomsromancebookclub@gmail.com. So if you want to read along with us and email us with your thoughts, or if you would like to suggest a book for us to read, we'd love to hear from you. Next week on April 22nd, we'll be chatting about We Could Be So Good by Kat Sebastian. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever your favorite podcasts are sold for free. Don't forget to leave a review because it helps the show, and we just love to read them. All right. Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome, Ellen.
Bye.
Bye.
Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts.